Hey, I'm Terry Molinaro, and I believe that we as the body of Christ are here for such a time as this. I love to say this, blessed to be a blessing, that we are called to be a light. And look, friends, if we don't do it, if we aren't the light, who's gonna be the light? The body of Christ has always been a house of action. And hey, who says we can't have some fun along the way?
Terry, it's Ryan Seacrest. You're in broadcast. I'm trying to be in broadcast. We have something in common. Good luck to you, Seacrest House.
This is the Church Acts Podcast. Hey there, and welcome back to the Church Acts Podcast. If you are new here, I'm Terry. It's an honor to talk with you today. And Easter is right around the corner. Do you celebrate Easter? See, I don't know why, but for some reason, I thought that my family never used to. But it turns out we have been celebrating Easter, more importantly, the Christian version of Easter, for my entire life. But for whatever reason, my brain was like, no, I don't think we've ever done anything for Easter in the past. But you better believe my parents were pretty quick to correct me on that. By the way, to everyone who has been sharing the show recently, I really appreciate it. It is a tremendous help. Podcasting is a bit strange. There are no fancy algorithms. So you are the marketing team. Plus, we aren't just talking for the sake of talking, right? We're getting things done. We're taking care of business. We're taking care of business. And hopefully there's life change that comes as a result of that. So I know that, I've been through times in my life where I turned on a podcast when I was having a very difficult time. And sometimes all it is that one word, that little word of encouragement, that person who can get into the headphones or go through your car speakers and say, hey, listen, I know you feel like you have nothing left to give, but as a matter of fact, you do have a lot more to give. And this season that you're currently in is not for the rest of your life. So get up, stand up, shake yourself up and move things forward. So if I can do that for you with any sentences or anything that the Holy Spirit has given me to speak, that is all well worth it. So with that being said, let's get into things today. I'm not really sure what you're up against or what life has been throwing at you recently. Maybe you'd say, hey, you know what, Terry? Life is actually pretty great. And if that's the case, that's obviously what I want for you. That's awesome. Really glad to hear that. But here's the thing. There are times where we feel hopeless. There are times where we're going to feel hopeless, a lack of hope, a lack of ambition, a lack of this sense of hopeful anticipation towards the future. You know, when you look at things and it's like, it's exciting. We have this thing to look forward to. And then some other seasons in life, it's like, well, I look ahead and I don't know, all I know is taxes are due. What is it? April 15th in Canada. So how is it that we can get to those places where there is just such a lack of hope? And what does that really have to do with Easter? Well, it actually has a lot to do with Easter. On the surface, if we wanted to talk about it here for a second, seeing as Easter is this weekend, Easter is an incredible time. I think it's easy to forget, but we as humans, all of us, like mankind, literally, we're in the worst possible spot. We need the most seemingly impossible thing to happen, and it did happen. See, Easter is a time that is filled with hope if we look for it. But not only that, it is a time not just of hope from the past, but I think, and as I'm going to talk about later on, a time filled with hope for right now and a time that can fill us with hope for what is to come, because it gives us a perspective that is very important, the perspective of the overcomer, if we look at it properly. I think we could all use a little realignment, though, you know, a little reminder that the enemy, like a little reminder that the enemy does not and will not win. When we think about Easter, we can easily get divided because the Bible doesn't actually mention Easter specifically. As a matter of fact, a lot of people associate Easter with a pagan holiday. And the more I looked into it, the more I was like, okay, I can see where they're coming from. But let's not get it mixed up here. When I talk about Easter, just a broad term, I'm talking about the traditional time of the year, you know, where Christians get together as we celebrate what was one of the greatest things to have happened to us, for us, when God sent his only son to die, make atonement for our sins as the ultimate sacrifice to put us all in right standing with the Father once again. So what was so interesting for me this year was thinking about Easter a bit differently. So track with me for a second. So God exists outside of time, which meant that in the very beginning, like the very, very, very beginning, before Adam and Eve were formed, he looked not just at them or the fall, but all the way through history, past you and I to the very end that we haven't even experienced yet. He saw mankind totally falling. He knew all these things that were going to go on to happen. He knew that he was going to have to send his son to die to make atonement. And here's the beautiful thing, where there's so much hope to be found. Regardless of that, he said, it is well worth it. That should give us all a lot of hope. See, the days are dark. Listen, I own a computer. I own a phone. I get it. Bombings here, threats over there, rumors of war, actual war, broken homes, broken families. But the story that we celebrate on Easter as Christians should fill us all with tremendous hope, because God saw through our timeline right here now and said, go, let's run this plan. Because in the end, amidst all the suffering, all the craziness that is our world right now, and amidst all that will be, it will still be well worth it in the end. Guys, I've been really convicted recently with a question. Do I know what's actually going on? Do I know what's really going on? Do I know what's going on in the spirit? Or am I just someone who is tossed around by life circumstances? Because if that is the case, I totally understand why hopelessness would set in if that is your situation today. If God has this master plan that is filled to the brim with hope, sometimes it makes me question why it is that I can feel hopeless. Is it maybe that my perspective, my frame, my vision is blurred by the constant noise that is around me? Has that maybe happened to you too? And I think that's the interesting thing about frames, that we accept them as fact, even though for the most part, they are so influenced by so many things that I think we need more than just what we see to dictate how we're experiencing things. Don't you think that's a good idea? Recently in a small group that I attend, someone brought up the story of Job in the Bible. So we were talking about it, and whenever I hear that story, I know that Job is the main character, obviously, but there's something that always stands out to me, and I wanted to read it with you today on the show. So Job 1, first chapter, verses 6 through 12, it says, one day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? And Satan answered the Lord, from roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Does Job fear God for nothing? Satan replied. Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But now stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face. The Lord said to Satan, very well then, everything he has is in your power, but on the man himself do not lay a finger. Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Once again, that's Job 1 verses 6 through 12 if you want to read it for yourself. Now, I don't know about you, but this account is so interesting to me. It shows many different things. It portrays Satan roaming to and fro on the earth. And when I read that, I get this sense that he's actually trapped. That could just be me reading into it though. But you have the angels presenting themselves before the Lord. You have the devil talking about Job being protected by God, saying, hey, does he not have reason to fear? You put a hedge around him. That's very interesting. You have the fact that Satan cannot touch Job without God's permission. All of these interesting things. But what I really want us to see and think about today is you have Job on earth doing whatever it is that he was doing at that point in time. But then you have another realm. Decisions that are about to rock his world are being made on a plane that he could not even see. And just like with Job, you and I are here on this earth right now, but there's another realm that we need to acknowledge, a realm that is more real than what is around us, more real than what we experience on a day-to-day basis, a realm that affects every single thing going on around us. Now back to the Easter story, to now see that realm at play. The Bible mentions it too when it comes to this story. So 1 Corinthians 2 verses 7 through 8 says something so interesting. Check this out. We speak of the mysterious and hidden wisdom of God, which he destined for our glory before time began. Now verse 8. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Interesting. If the rulers of this world, these demonic forces, would have understood what was going on, the secret wisdom of God, they would not have been so eager to crucify Jesus, which would have ultimately, that we're going to be talking about later on the episode, led and set in motion their ultimate defeat. That's some exciting stuff. So if you were to join me for a few moments, let's go back a few thousand years. I can just imagine. Now remember, the devil is not omnipresent, but I can just imagine the devil walking alongside Jesus, because you best believe he's going to try to make sure that that plan comes to fruition, even though it's his ultimate defeat. The Son of God, as he was being beaten, talking about Jesus, thinking, I've won. As a matter of fact, Good Friday is, I believe, one of the most sacred days in Satanism because the devil is somehow able to convince people that Jesus was the ultimate sacrifice to him, which is obviously a complete lie and blasphemy. Remember, he is called the father of lies for a reason, so we should not entertain someone who obviously has that title. But I can just imagine the enemy salivating, getting so excited to see Jesus crucified. All while heaven stood by seemingly silent. I don't know this for sure, but I imagine like heaven's armies lined on the edge of heaven, just silent, waiting. Because what seemed like the biggest failure on the outside, what seemed in the human realm as all hope being lost, was actually the biggest setup that will ever occur for mankind. Where the most impossible, important thing became possible, the Son of God, fully man, given as a sacrifice to atone for our sins, not just past, but present and future, so that we would be put in right standing with God through his blood, given the authority to then vanquish the enemy. Where Jesus was one person, Jesus going back up into heaven, sending his Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what a nightmare scenario that is to the enemy now to know that as soon as the believers get hold of this wisdom, that the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God lives within them. Now, all of a sudden it's like, okay, not where's Jesus, because the enemy's not omnipresent. Now, every single believer has that unlocked potential and ability within them to just wreak havoc in the enemy's kingdom. That is very exciting. And no wonder the enemy works so hard to like hide this from us, because can you imagine? He can't just, it's like, it's impossible. It's an impossible task. Every single person having the capabilities to just destroy his kingdom. Everyone who has the Holy Spirit partnering on the inside of them is a believer. That's incredible. Now, what am I trying to say on this episode today? My friends, our history, our story is not one of defeat. It is not hopeless. There are so many times, even in the Bible, where it looked as if all hope was lost. But hope is our inheritance, and hope is our destiny as children of God. So let me encourage you today, wherever you're at, whatever it is that you're going through, if it seems hopeless, maybe we need to spend a little bit more time looking for God in our circumstances. Maybe we need to look back and remember that when things seemed at their darkest, the truth was things were actually all going according to the plan. God is near today, near to you, near to your family, near to your circumstances, near to your situations. He's near today. He will be near tomorrow and the day after and the next year. And if Trump wins this November, if Biden wins, if Russia's at war, if Israel's at war, God is on the throne. And right next to him is his son seated at his right hand. And more, even more so than that, he has sent his Holy Spirit to partner alongside us. See, when we accepted and surrender our lives to God, we broke out of secular blindness. What is secular blindness? Well, it's basically like it's seeing this world only. It's being just bound to this world system. When we accept a God who is spirit, we acknowledge the fact that there is more than what meets the eye. And if that is the case, why do we choose to be blinded and controlled day after day, circumstance after circumstance, by what we see only? Right? Why is that? Remember, there is more to what's going on than what you immediately see. This is why it's so important for the body of Christ to operate in its gifts. I'll tell you what. There were times where I was pressed hard. I had no idea what was happening. All I could see was what I was being blinded by, what was in front of me. I saw people coming against me. I saw people spreading lies, rumors about me. But then I finally snapped out of the craziness long enough to remember what the Bible says, to not worry about things. Instead, hey, pray about things. Ask God for wisdom. He will give you the wisdom that you need. And then I was shown from a higher vantage point what was really going on. When I got that wisdom, I was able to stand and to endure because I understood then. I was given that spiritual wisdom that, if we back up to that verse that we were talking about, that same wisdom where it's like, hey, it was hidden. Lest the rulers of this world understood, they never would have crucified Jesus, right? But guess what? We are on the winning side. We have access to that wisdom as well. It was a couple years ago. My sister's like, I found this really cool place. It's kind of like this little mini cliff thing that you can climb up on. And to get there though, you go through this super dense forest and it's, you can't really see anything. It's just a bunch of trees, but you keep climbing to the point where you're actually above the tree line and you can see for miles around and it's clear. See, I would make different decisions based on what I can see or versus what I cannot see. And when we get that wisdom from God, it's almost like, hey, we're no longer in the forest trying to assume things. We're then therefore put at a higher place with the Holy Spirit's wisdom, and we can make decisions from that different place. And they'll be clear decisions, not ones just mired by confusion, right? So let us not be immature children, right? God sent his Spirit. The Holy Spirit's a partner with us so that we don't have to be walking around in the dark, like in that low level of the forest, but can know the things of the Spirit, to walk with him, partner with him in getting things done here on earth. So the next time life seems to be getting hopeless, remember two things. The first, God saw through to the end and decided in his infinite wisdom that all of this is worth it. Second thing, there's always more going on than what you can see. And with that being said, there is always hope. I pray that you would not be bombarded and overwhelmed by just what you're seeing in front of you today. I pray that you would go before God in prayer, partner with the Holy Spirit, and get the wisdom you need to overcome, to see what is really going on, so that you would stand the test of time and accomplish all that God has for you to accomplish. That is the way. That is the Easter story. The biggest setup that would ever happen, that when all hope seemed lost, when it all seemed to be wiped out, heaven had another plan all along. God was not taken by surprise like we as humans are taken by surprise. It's just like the Bible says, his ways, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, higher than our ways. One that to this day and forever, the kingdom of darkness would never be able to undo. I'll tell you what, the next time the enemy tries to convince you of something, remember, he is the father of lies. We should not be listening to someone who literally only knows how to speak lies. Then remind him that the moment Jesus made the sacrifice that he did was the moment everything was set in motion for his demise. What the enemy has tried to claim as a victory was the exact same thing that has led and will continue to lead to his ultimate demise. Keep the faith. Keep the hope. God is for you. And if God is for you, nothing can stand against you. I just want to close once again with that thing, you know, that picture that back in the day, the enemy not being omnipresent, Jesus was there. Oh, I got to worry about Jesus, got to worry about Jesus. Jesus then went to heaven, sent his Holy Spirit to partner with all of us. Can you imagine what a nightmare that is for the enemy to recognize that you right now have the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead residing in you, just waiting for you to just wake up and say, hey, I know what this is. I know whose I am. I know that I am an overcomer, and then start turning and just turning the tide in your family's life, turning the tide at your workplace, taking authority over your atmosphere. The enemy is just terrified. Let's wake up, my friends. Let's bring fear to the enemy's kingdom, okay? Keep the faith. Keep the hope. There is always hope. That is our inheritance. That is the story. There is more than what meets the eye that is going on in your life. We need to get that perspective. We need to go to God in prayer. God, give me the wisdom. Show me, God. I feel like everything around me is falling apart, but give me the wisdom. Then stand in the authority and take back this life. This is the life that you've been given. You were called to be an overcomer, not a victim. God bless, my friends, and happy Easter.